again, the beauty of being able to go to Catholic Church on Saturday with my mother, and here on Sunday, they have a wealth of more contemporary, wonderful hymns and songs. So I feel this is appropriate, certainly for me. We never know what we're called for. We never know how we do service. And I'm realizing my talents that I'm really nurturing here, I use as a music therapist, and my ears to listen and to observe what my children need have really begun to open up. So.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark despair. My hand will save. I who made the stars at night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
If you lead me. Thank you, Bonnie. That was absolutely remarkable. Beautiful song. And now it's with great pleasure I would like to present to you the speaker of the day. Many of you met her yesterday at the workshop. And let me tell you, for those of us who were at the workshop yesterday, all I have to say, it would give you so much inspiration and acknowledgement of the Spirit is alive and well with love in the universe. I tell you, I heard so much truth yesterday. I was just wanted to be like a little bird and fly around and say, amen, praise the Lord, this is wonderful. And it was like having my teacher, Virginia, back on the earth plane. And so I do want to thank them both for yesterday. You who know Sharon know that she brings humor into anything and everything she does. And we love her for that. We love her for that. But what you don't know and what they normally don't want us to tell you about are their accomplishments. I'm going to say just a little bit. She was ordained in the Fellowship of the Spirit School of Healing and Prophecy in 1996. That's when I was ordained too. 29 years at Arbor Creek Youth Services, a residential program for delinquent and dependent youth. 14 years administrator of education at Harbor Creek. 3 years executive director for Perseus House Florence Crittenden, a court-ordered program for pregnant teens and their babies. 10 years educational administrator and principal for this charter school of excellence, Maritime Center, middle school, 6th through 8th grades. Founding program director for Keepers of the Heart Project, which interviewed and filmed Dr. Hazel Mullenbach, Keeper of the Faith, the Seneca Nation. And she is now recently retired from the educational system in 2012. It's with great pleasure I present to you now, Reverend Sharon.
Oh, look, now I'm taller. Whoa. I hope I don't fall off. You know, I want to thank you for the music. It was wonderful. We had the young and the bold. Doesn't get any better than that. You know, I cannot say enough about returning here. Barbara and I have talked about it for the entire year. We were at the flea market telling people to come here. You have a gem. This is a wonderful church. The spirit of all of you here is great. You know, it's kind of like a gem out in the middle of like nowhere. And then here's this place that everybody comes to. And it's such an eclectic group. And yet you find it and you found each other. It's wonderful. There was a dollar bill and a $20 bill, and they were at the Federal Reserve, and they were taken out of circulation. And the $20 bill said to the dollar bill, oh, man, what a life I've had. I have been to Vegas and Atlantic City. I was at the Super Bowl. I've been to Broadway shows, Paris, cruises. I have lived a good life. And they said, what about you? What have you done? And the dollar bill said, well, I've been to church. And I've been to church, and I've been to church, and I've been to church. So I want you to remember what a gem you have here, okay? And to bless it in your resources of time and energy and financially, because it is a blessing. When I was here last year, I talked a little bit about a billboard sign that I had seen. And I had been driving by, and it said, be fulfilled. And when I turned around, I was like, because I caught my eye, and I turned around, and it was a sign for McDonald's. And I have not been able to get that out of my head. It really bothered me that we take a spiritual kind of concept, and we put it up there like that, and we sell it to our youth. Be fulfilled. be fulfilled on a Big Mac? And what if we're supersized? Does that make us fuller? Imagine driving up to your church. I'll have that God size, please, and by all means, supersize it. So do you come here today? Are you full? Are you filled? Or are you empty? Or are you someplace in between? I want you for just a second to take a moment and to ask yourself, where am I? Am I a 1 or am I a 10 super filled? You know, we live in a world where there's a lot going on. We make our way, but sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable, you know, because we have so many subtle distractions. We've got the pressures at home and work, and then there's those worldwide issues that are blasted to us on the news and in the paper. There's poverty and war, you know, global warming, gas prices, things that kind of hit us, but we like keep going. True comfort isn't necessarily found. You know, we all want to be comfortable and secure, but comfort isn't always found in our lounge chairs and our lattes. And when we focus solely on being filled and with our comfort, we miss out on an enormous aspect of life God designed for us. Sometimes we need those challenges and stretch to move us out of our comfort zone. How much as adults do we get caught up in the latest trend or the product that promises to shine our floors, bring us relief and fullness to our life? How about your passion for your favorite sports team? Or you've heard of those who have got to play the lottery, you know, and the promise of a new treatment or miracle pill that's put out there on TV, that it's going to bring relief, that it's going to bring us what we need. You know, there's groups that are out there making billions on our backs. They're lobbying and making money and selling it on TV and in the newspapers, and yet does it really fulfill? And what about our technology? It's advancing so fast. Computers, tablets, cell phones, Facebook, Twitter, Instagrams. It's all good. It's all good. There's a place. There's a convenience for us. But does it fill our lives, or is there a subtle distraction that keeps us filled but not fulfilled? You know what? Cars have that automatic thing on it, that shut off. You know, you get too much in, but what do? We gotta keep, you know, pushing a little bit more in. Look around. You know, I think we have the walking dead among us. Maybe not so much in this church, but I'm telling you, you don't have to go far. Go into some of your stores, go into work, and there's zombies. They're out there. They're not just in the movies. Look around, folks. They're going through the motions, but where's their joy? You know, and how about food? Sometimes it tastes so good. And I know I ask myself later, why did I eat that second helping? When is enough enough? When are we full, or what are we so afraid of being empty, that we keep bringing more into our lives? It's worth asking ourselves, is there room inside for you to do work that's larger than you? Are you making room for new ideas that are bigger? Or that simply, what am I going to be doing tomorrow? If not, what can you do to make room? What beliefs or constraints or debts or ideas or paths do you need to remove in order to free up some of your space, so that you can do some creative work, because it's there for you? So what are you filled with? What do you want to be filled with? What do you say to yourself? What are we saying to others by our words and by our works? What does it take to be fulfilled, and who and what fills you? And if I'm full, does that equal love? Or is it love that we're really seeking? I want you to consider, is there a space that only God can fill? Fulfilled, to be complete, to be solid at our spiritual core, and to be balanced in body, mind, and emotions. Can you recall a time? I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to recall a time when you were spiritually fulfilled. Step into it. See it, hear it, smell it, feel it. And when you have it, make it bigger and brighter and let it radiate through you, filling your space, expanding to this space, and going beyond these walls. And breathe that in. And come on back. The very essence of who we are is of God. And so we know that we are spirit-filled, and we have been given gifts of the Spirit, gifts that fulfill. The Bible in Corinthians says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. Okay. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. You know, this is a passage that's used a lot. It's a wonderful passage. To each individual, the manifestation of Spirit is given for some benefit. Not just to Reverend Connie and Reverend Barbara here. It's given to each and every one of us in some form, in some fashion, to benefit all. Are we mindful of this? Do we really believe it? Do we support it in each other? Do we appreciate the gifts that each one brings to the table? Do we allow ourselves to be in the flow of natural law, knowing that in fullness and in emptiness there is love? And in that emptiness, that what we might be filled with is even more awesome than what we've been holding on to. You know, but there's some work involved. We recently had the Olympics. They just finished up. And I don't know about anybody else, but I really enjoy watching these events, but listening to the stories of how these people have gotten to where they are, their struggles, their dedication. Maybe their lives have a lesson for us. When you hear them talk, they talk about the Olympic dream. I mean, these are people who are passionate about what they're doing. They're not spectators sitting on the sidelines. They're dedicated participants. They've given up much, some of them everything, it seems, to live the Olympic dream of competing, of doing their best, with a vision of standing on a podium with gold around their necks. They're examples of people who are engaged and driven and focused on a goal. Their whole life revolves around it. They think, they eat, they do what they're desiring. They have a commitment. They put momentum into it. And, you know, their hard work brings a dream to them. And they each carry their story. Everyone here carries their story. If we put this screen down, what would your life look on that screen? Would it be the thrill of victory or the agony of defeat? You know, there's no shortcuts to peak physical condition, and there are no shortcuts to peak spiritual condition. Our story may not be the Olympic dream, but is it God's dream? Do we know that God's dream is planted deep inside of each one of us? Do we treasure it? Do we really know it? We may not have a medal around our neck, but are we living God's purpose or our purpose? Are we full of ourselves or are we spirit-filled? Are we sharing the giftedness of who we are? There is a story about Fritz Kreisler. He was a world-famous violinist, and he earned a fortune with his concerts and his compositions, but he generously gave most of it away. So when he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, he wasn't able to buy it. Later, having raised enough money for it, he went back to the seller hoping to purchase the beautiful instrument. But to his dismay, it had already been sold to a collector. So Fritz made his way to the gentleman's home and asked if he could buy the violin. And the collector said, "No, no, no. This is my prized possession now," and he would not sell it. So Fritz was very disappointed, and he was about to leave, and he said, "Could I play the instrument one more time before it is consigned to silence?" And the permission was granted, and the great virtuoso filled the room with such heart-moving music that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. And he said, "I have no right to keep this to myself. It is yours. Take it into the world and let people hear it. Are you taking your gifts into the world? You may not be a world-class athlete or a famous violin player, but everyone has dreams and aspirations and hopes for the future. And in every single heart, there is a dream of what we can be of God. It's a dream that God breathed into each of us. Some may be kept hidden in the depths of our souls, and perhaps it's our fear that keeps these secret goals locked deep inside, or old messages and thoughts that continuously play the shoulda, coulda, woulda games. I wish that hadn't happened. I should have done that. If only I could get that back and reverse the clock and redo history. And you're rehearsing and you're regretting. You'll make yourself crazy and those around you miserable too. And what are you setting yourself up for? You know about manifestation. Whatever you focus on, you tend to reproduce in your life. Stop it. It's okay to be a normal human being with normal human reactions. You know, other people can make us uncomfortable, but they can't keep us there. That's a choice you make. Don't let this mindless chatter keep you from moving forward. Proverbs says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We all have old scars and painful hurts. For some, there are wounds that have never properly healed. For others, more recent injuries, something someone said or something someone did, someone who neglected to do something. And some old wounds go so deep that they shape who we are even today. And some are so incredibly sore that all it takes is a word or a look from someone to open up the scab and create fresh hurt upon fresh hurt upon fresh hurt. But you know what? The good news is we're all resilient. We can get help. We can heal. We can step into this moment. We can ask for grace in this moment. For God wants us to be fresh. He wants us to have a good start. Each day, each moment, we can choose a new beginning. We carry the God dream within us. It's in our hearts. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of it. And that's why coming together in a beautiful setting like this should be a message for all of us. You got to remember, though, to take the message with you when you leave. You got to take it and live it. And so when you're stuck, and you know, we do get stuck, I have a little exercise for you. Well, you never know what your gift may be. I've been given blood since I was 18. You know, my parents gave blood. So, you know, you just, hey, you see them doing it, and it's like, it's something I can do. I can give this freely. Well, it turns out I can give platelets also. And a platelet is like 2 pints of blood, okay? You know, they use the platelets for some of the cancer people and for leukemia, people who can't use the whole blood. And now that I have a little more time, I'm like, I'll be a platelet donor because you're there about an hour. Well, it turns out that, like, they run things, some tests, and then they come back and they say, oh, my gosh, you're over 300. You can give 2 packages of platelets. That's equal to 4 pints of blood. And I'm like, wow, who knew that my gift was platelets, you know? And I get to lay around for an extra hour, so it's a good thing. Part of laying around was, I'm in a prayer group, so that music was beautiful, because although I'm an ordained minister, I'm kind of like a universal donor. I still attend the Catholic Church. I've been in a prayer group for 25 years, and it's like, you know, I like this whole mix of things. And I was due to have the prayer group at my house. And because I'm a minister and a spook, as they call me, you know, there's this tendency that, like, oh, I'm supposed to do something special for my prayer group, okay? Well, I was kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But lo and behold, I'm laying there giving my platelets, and I find an article by Carolyn Macy. And she's not like one of my favorite people, but I thought, I'm going to read this article. It turns out she had a little story in there. And that little story, for me, was profound. She was talking about, she was at the Ritz Hotel in New York City, And she was sitting at a table, and there was a mother and daughter sitting close by. And it must have been the mother's birthday, and they were celebrating. And the daughter was going on. She was flapping her gums, talking about this and that and this neighbor and blah, blah, blah. And the mother finally, after a while, turned to her and said, "Honey, I don't know any of those people you're talking about. I really don't care about any of that you're talking about. Could you tell me about something I love?" The daughter kind of took a breath, and she looked over at her mom, and she said, "Mom, you know that pin you're wearing? Dad gave that to you on your 30th anniversary." And the mother looked down and went, "Oh, that's right. I remember. Wow. Tell me about something you love." "Well, I did that with the prayer group, and it was profound, because they each shared a story, and some of them, even though we've been together 25 years, I've never heard. I've been volunteering at a nursing home, and I don't know, they give me the ones who are like, I guess, haven't had anybody visit in a while, and I get a long list, and they're like, whoever you can get to today is a good thing, you know? And so I go in to visit some of them, and some of them have, you know, they've got some dementia. And it's like, what do I talk to them about? Now, my friend here, Barbara, she can talk to anybody. I'm a little shyer. I know it may not seem that way, but I really am. And so when I go in to see these people, I'm like, oh. But you know what I found? When I say to them, "Tell me about something you love," a spark goes off in their eye. And the next thing you know, they're telling me about the books that they've read, how they were a college professor. They're telling me about their kids. They're telling me about the house they loved. They're telling me about their orchards. Tell me about something you love. You know, when people get stuck, as we often do, when people are rattling on about all their problems, just turn to them and say, "You know what? Tell me about something you love." You know, does remarkable things. So, in the coming days, I want you to be mindful of what you're thinking, what you're seeing, what you're hearing. How does it make you feel? Where does it resonate within you? Reflect on what you're filling your life with. And if it's not bringing you fulfillment, bless it and let it go. And if your spirit gifts have been on the back burner for a long time, come on, they've simmered long enough. Bring them forward. Nurture yourself, nurture others. Allow your gifts to nurture yourself, others, absolutely. Know that God resides in you, in your emptiness, and in your fullness. You are loved. Renew yourself. Pray, meditate, worship. Gather together in fellowship. Take classes. Be curious. Get out in nature. Quiet yourself. Change a habit. Be in service. Volunteer. Laugh. Encourage and challenge each other to not only hear the messages and the signs, but to live the message. Be an example that you are of God. So, open yourself to the awesome work of our Lord. Be filled with enthusiasm for God's ideas and plans and works in your life. Be fulfilled, be healed, and remember, the only difference between a rut and the grave is the depth. Think about it, and God bless.